The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions. I am your host, Emilio Lopez, and I am joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Happy Sunday.
Ryan Manjoma.
Sorry, guys. I'm still asleep from the PASX show.
And Mr. Adam Vale.
Sucker Free Sunday, suckers.
All right, so just a few things to go through here. You may notice that there's somebody missing. Tony Polanco is at the pony show this weekend, PSX, and you know, he's been sending us a little back and forth. So hopefully he'll show up. He said he might show up and give a couple of things that might have happened. But yeah, other than that, and also Brett is not going to be in. He's got some work to do. You know, got to pay that rent and all that shit. So. You know, hopefully he might show up at some point in the show. So, yeah, let's get started. We have Chris who's going to check off our little questions here. So the first one is actually by Gary Swaby.
Yeah, Gary asks, we know that marketing budgets can make the difference between a lower tier and a best-selling game. But is there anything gamers can do to make their favorite game sell more?
Buy them.
That's a hard one because, you know, like one of my favorite games this year was Gravity Rush, and like I was like, man, get Gravity Rush, but I'm like, at the same time, it's really nothing that we as players could do, or even just marketing. Just some things hit and some things don't hit, you know.
Yeah, it's word of mouth is probably one of the biggest factors to this. Even if the game doesn't have that much marketing, because if you think about it, Battlefront 2 has a huge marketing budget. Yeah. I see that thing everywhere. It's advertised everywhere. So, and we all see how word of mouth is not helping that game.
Yeah.
So there's games that just word of mouth can help it out. And also one thing that I see is streamers, you know, quote-unquote mm-hmm. YouTube influencers, like if they play video games that like pretty often, people who watch them tend to want to play those games. So that's another factor to that.
Yeah, I mean, just like just seeing the live gameplay and seeing somebody react to them, I mean, it's almost like going to your buddy's house and saying, you know, being like, yo, man, I got this new shit. You know, I can remember going over to Chris's or Adam's place and just be like, yo, I just got the new Max Payne on PC. I was like, man, I want to play this. I don't got no money, you know?
I remember when I got that, it came with a mouse pad. It came in a big-ass box.
When I was watching Chris play, I think, Max Payne 2, and like he had gotten to the point where he kind of modded the game a little bit, so all the bullets have like extra stopping power, so when you shoot somebody, they go flying across the room.
Yeah, I broke the engine with that one.
Man, remember Minority Report? Gumby physics and that.
I love that. You know what? I love that. That game is not a good game.
You got hooked on it.
I love that. I mean, always
remembers. He came over to play it, and he's like, all right, I'll play a little bit. I passed out. I went to sleep. I wake up. It's like 7 in the morning. He's still up playing the damn thing.
That game was so addictive, man. Like, just throwing, like, people through glass windows. I'm like, okay. It was like, you know how, like, Tom Cruise's, like, main base, right? It's all like those crazy, like the touch glass window shits, right? So like at some point everybody turns against you and then you're just like throwing into the thing. And there's this one part where like I think you're in like a building. And I was like, you know what? I wonder what happens if I throw this guy through the window and he, you know, what happens. So he flies through the window and then he's like ragdolling. He's going, oh no. I'm like, oh God. Yeah. All right. Next question. So actually, next questions are from our man G Megaforce 123.
Yeah, so GMegaForce, first question. Do gamers or devs set the hype of AAA games?
You mean, what, set the hype? Like marketing and promotion? Or?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he also explains a little bit more on the bottom there, which is...
This is part of the same question. Okay, are AAA games set by the hype of us as gamers? Like, when certain games are being shown, people just assign these levels to them based on initial interest, or is it based on how much effort and exposure devs give to games?
It's both. It's both. Yeah, people get to blame for it because they get hyped on it just from maybe a previous version and stuff. And then mm-hmm. if they don't, then you got the marketing side that's just in your face constantly. So then you're like, well, I guess it must be good. Look at all the money they're putting behind it. I should go get it. You know, so it's both ways. It's a two-way street.
Well, don't forget that the dev for No Man's Sky hyped the game more than anyone else.
Oh, but
in the wrong way.
Starstruck. That's the way I see it. It was just starstruck. Do you have this? Yeah. Flying cars? Yeah. DeLoreans? Yeah.
Yeah. It has this.
Yeah. Kuchit Sink? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. That's GTA with the DeLoreans. Oh, man. What? They actually are throwing everything at us. All right.
Yeah. Flying DeLoreans in there. But yeah, it's a weird one because it's a little bit of I think it's more of the gamers that kind of where mm-hmm. it makes something a success. Because I mean, again, we've seen like sometimes you have these commercials that like fucking Haze had fucking commercials all over the place. So did friggin' Syndicate, like all over the train stations and everything, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, what? Okay, the game didn't do well. So I think it's just to go back to Gary's question. It's like, some things hit and some things don't hit. No matter how much hype and shit is behind it, it just doesn't work sometimes. Look at
the Dishonored series, you know? I mean, they've hyped it up to hell, and it just never really made it.
I mean, people love the original one, but I feel like it was like, once the second one came around, everybody was like, I guess so.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't really need a sequel.
It just felt too much like Bioshock, and we've already mm-hmm. had Bioshock 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, I don't. It's kind of a hard one because it's somewhat knowing the demographics at the same time, trying to give people something like a new experience. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, for me, for the most part, it is the gamers who set the hype for AAA games.
Yeah,
occasionally you get the outspoken game developer who talks, like, case in point, Peter Molyneux is one of them. He definitely hypes up whatever game he does more than anyone else can do. So you do have that.
He is able to catch people's interest. Like, at least from the last times he's done it, he's been able to catch people's interest just by the things he says. Somehow having a British accent and telling people things seems to work.
Hey, Cliff Blizzard,
give me your money. Give me your money.
It's like, yes, we could do. Oh yeah, Cliffy, you know, he can sell this stuff pretty well too. Like, but I mean, did it work? So, I can't remember if it worked so well for Bulletstorm. Did it?
Well, Bulletstorm, it was weird because that was by people who fly or flying people. What was mm-hmm. it? It's a Polish studio.
Yeah,
and he was just help promoting it because it was his IP, but it was a different studio, mm. so it wasn't his project. But for all the ones that he's done, I mean, he's out there. Remember that time he was at GameStop signing autographs and stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, he goes out there. Not many publishers, I mean, creators do that.
Yeah. Didn't really help Lawbreakers.
Lawbreakers isn't its own.
I think he had been out of the limelight for too long. And he thought that maybe that his reputation could actually help it. And I feel like the same sort of thing... With the guy who created the first God of War, David Jaffe.
Yep.
I feel like the same thing happened with him. Like, this was a shot in the dark, and they wanted to do these sorts of things, but it really wasn't...
Drawn to death?
Yeah, drawn to death. Which, it, you know...
No, same thing that was horrible. The writing was horrible.
John Carmack.
Yeah, John Carmack.
Like, there's like these holier than thou game developers that people praise and who are really outspoken when it comes to delivering their games, and sometimes that doesn't really translate to success. It's kind of tricky that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, like regards to the question, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely gamers are the ones who set the hype more mm-hmm. than devs do.
Yeah. Next question from G Megaforce 123.
S. His next one is, why does Microsoft often make bad investments / games? I mean, Sony has had its fair share of blunders too, especially last gen, but they seem to be on point this gen. Microsoft, on the other hand, has consistently taken losses, with rare exceptions like Turn 10. That's all the Microsoft brand is known for. What the hell does Sony know that Microsoft...
It was Microsoft passing on chances to buy studios. Remember, Mass Effect could have been theirs, and they didn't pick up the studio, and EA did. Mm. You know, same thing with recently with Titanfall. You know, they could have picked up Respawn, and they didn't. And so now EA has them. And that, I think that's the downfall. It's like they've had these opportunities. Even with Dead Rising, I remember the last one, that 4-3, that mm-hmm. was published and everything by Microsoft. And I'm pretty sure somewhere along the lines, Capcom was like, hey, if you want to keep funding this, this could be yours. You know, and they didn't. They just did that one, and they're done.
Mm.
You know, and, I mean, we're talking about it now with Tomb Raider, you know, with that whole thing, or with the Hitman, you know, IO Interactive. I mean, they need to just pull the trigger on some of these, but I don't. And what happens is a lot of these either go multi-platform or they get picked, then the exclusive deals start popping up, and then they're left in the dust, you know. And we see all that with what, with the whole Destiny. I mean, what was it, just a few months ago, Destiny 1 content that was exclusive on the PS4 is finally on the Xbox. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's because they signed that
they signed a ridiculous deal, you know. Mm-hmm. And it sucks for them. Yeah. And for the players and people, especially. I know a lot of people, you know, Bungie was always known as a Microsoft thing because it was. Mm-hmm. They owned it for a while, but they had some kind of falling out. They let them buy their stocks out, and there must be some bad blood there, because for Bungie to start these kind of deals with PlayStation, that's like a smack in the face to all the people that made you big with Halo.
Mm-hmm.
The people that supported you were on the Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, fuck them.
I don't
get a sloppy seconds.
For me, I don't think it's bad investments on Microsoft's side. I think it's more of just the fact that Sony kind of just sticks. To what that means is, like, if you look at a lot of the first party stuff that's not, you know, that's a little bit off the beaten path sort of stuff, they have all kinds of kooky things that they're throwing out there. You know, some work, some don't. I feel like the Uncharted series was one of those situations where it's like, all right, this sounds like a really good idea. Let's do it. You know, and I feel like a lot of those ideas, like Horizon and Infamous, and I feel a lot of those games are just Sony just saying, you know what? You guys make really good games. We trust you. But I feel like the Microsoft section of things, I think they're still kind of trying to figure out what their demographic is. Even to this day, I feel like they don't fully understand their demographic, because you wouldn't. I mean, obviously, that them throwing you know testing the waters was something like a Quantum Break, which was kind of like an Uncharted story driven sort of thing. But I feel like Microsoft needs to invest and fit what their audience likes. And I feel like, why wouldn't, you know, it's weird. Like, why wouldn't you have been like a Titan by that franchise? It started on Xbox. Or why not, you know, even years ago, why not taking, like, you know, they had multiple chances to pick up BioWare to do this sort of, to do this stuff. They could have, you know, they were doing the Knights of the Old Republic games. Those were, like, for a while, I mean, at least the first one, right? Wasn't that an Xbox exclusive?
Yep. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, they had multiple chances to pick up Bungie. I mean, not Bungie, you know, BioWare. Yeah.
They've had chances, and for some reason, they just don't shoot on it. And then this happens.
And then
now they're stuck.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Sony has track records with studios. Like Emilio mentioned about how Horizon, Infamous, and Uncharted series, like, think about it. Like, Insomniac started with Ratchet and Clank.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're the Infamous studio. Now they're the Spider-Man studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, what's it called? Naughty Dog was the Crash Bandicoot studio, Jack and Daxter studio. Now they're the Uncharted and Last of Us studio, you know, and that's the same thing for Guerrilla Games, where they were the Killzone studio. Now they're the Horizon studio.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get that from Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't have a studio that, like, reinvents itself.
I think the only new studio they have is a Coalition, and that's just Gears. And that looks like it's not even just like side gear project. It looks like it's just strictly just Gears.
Yeah.
I was expecting like an RTS. I was expecting all kinds of variations of Gears. No, that's not happening. So that's that kind of...
I mean, yeah, like a lot of their studios are just like the Forza studio is just the Forza studio. The Halo studio is just the Halo studio.
That's not
studio.
Even theirs. Yeah. That's the thing. That's not even that. That's just their IP that mm-hmm. turned and does, but they don't even own that studio.
So, I mean, I guess the best thing to do, what Microsoft to do is just try to kind of get into doing more sorts of trying to get into demographic of the Microsoft fan base. I've always, at least, I've always seen Microsoft fan base as more of the kind of competitive, sort of balls to the wall sort of game. I remember Adam saying this years ago. It's like, yo, man, you know, that PlayStation, that's, you know, that's like, whatever. This is where, you know, the Xbox, that's where all the hardcore guys.
Yeah, when it came to shooters and stuff, like what mm-hmm. I saw from people that were jumping from PC when it came to console, it was the Xbox. It just made sense because mm-hmm. of the controller and the way the triggers actually felt like triggers of, you know,
yeah.
that we're used to. And that was it. And those guys, a lot of guys I knew that were playing on PC were jumping on the Xbox. And mm-hmm. that's.
Yeah. Right, everybody, yeah. everybody good?
Yeah, I think it was said. Well, for me.
I'll go ahead, Chris.
I'll just throw in there that it's a long game that Sony is better at than Microsoft because longer.
Yeah.
But Microsoft has to form long-term, and they don't seem to want to do that, except with their own stuff. They don't. They're just like contracting out games. I think the new attitude has only formed since Matrick left and Spencer took over, but it has to be consistent. You form relationships with studios. You have to and nurture them. And they don't do that. So that's another huge problem that mm-hmm. they have.
You know, it's funny because when Xbox first started, I can't remember the guy who was part of the game, the main guy at the game. What he would do was he literally went to every single, like, you know, be like, hey, do you want to, like, building these sorts of relations? And then he's like, at some point when he signed, he was the one that signed for Halo. And then once Halo dropped, all the executives at Microsoft wanted to do was push Halo games rather than trying to also, you know, branching out with all the other, you know, companies that they tried, that he at least initially tried to get to do games. That's part of the reason why you saw like guys like, you know, like Tim Schafer making games for Xbox first. Rather than the other console. Yeah, it's definitely built. I mean, I hope that management, that they're at least trying to physically sort of do that. And I feel like at E3, they were somewhat trying to say that they were doing that stuff, but then they said they're trying to reach out to all these different studios, but then they show you something like Dragon Ball Z, which was already a multi-platform game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they unfortunately pigeonhole themselves into a certain niche market. And the hard part is trying to expand through that, trying to reach people that are not part of that mm-hmm. environment.
Yeah.
Getting those single player, maybe JRPG fans or more fighting fans, mm-hmm. like it's going to be hard for them to get out of that mold.
Yeah. All right. I think, what was that? That's the last one for. The next one is a new name. Well, a new name for me. I can't even pronounce this thing. And Chris, can you even pronounce that thing?
And Suarez.
Oh, okay. It's Antonio Suarez. That's one word. Okay. So, yeah. So, Antonio Suarez.
He said, great show. Some casual. Well, you only had one question.
Well, you know. By the way, thanks a lot, Antonio.
Yeah. Commodore 64 and Amiga 500 were very popular in Europe back in the day. Do you guys have any experience with these fantastic PC gaming machines, and do you have any
Commodore?
I never owned Commodore 64.
I had
friends who had it.
The cheesy football game I had, and the boxing game.
The cheesy football and the boxing game.
Yeah, the boxing. It was like the black and white, and like. You can play that now in the Call of Duty World War II because it was an Activision game, and it's in the game, but it's that old.
What was it like? I know my brother, my stepbrother had that. He had like a tape drive, and it had like a normal floppy drive in it. And I remember
that was his computer.
That was it. I mean, I thought that was a Commodore.
No, the Commodore is a cartridge you shove on the top. He had that's the old that's an old IBM that he had.
You're right. That was an IBM. Yeah. Sorry. I don't think I've ever had the experience with a Commodore or Amiga, unfortunately. I mean, they were kind of too really expensive at the time. I mean, the first video game console that I personally owned was an Atari, and that was a hand-me-down from Adam when he bought the Nintendo.
Anyone else? I never owned an Amiga in my life, and I didn't own a Commodore 64.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah. That was just too many consoles for me to have at the time when I was that young.
It was like either the Nintendo, and that was the biggest investment. And I'm sure, Brian, you were too young for that. Like,
yep, 100%, way too young. I got in roughly NES, SNES time. So yeah, I missed that completely.
Yeah, and I'm sure Tony doesn't have anything to add on that if he ever did. Like he never owned that shit. My man was poor as like the rest of us were. So
I'll be right back.
All right, so we have another question from Mr. Kennedy.
Yes, Mr. Kennedy asks, why didn't the facial capturing from L.A. Noire become?
Oh yeah, you know it's funny that thing is that capture was so. I think the biggest issue with it was the fact that you had to capture the body and the face at two different times. So all the actors had to act everything twice. They did everything on a motion capture stage, and this is before they had those little head units that you see from the guys from, you know, that Naughty Dog and all those other guys use. So I feel like the reason why the tech wasn't used is because you have that weird disconnect between the body and the head. You know, like it almost feels like you're projecting somebody's face onto this kind of like stiff looking 3D body. So I feel like that's part of, and I'm sure that doing that technique was incredibly expensive. And I think it was very expensive. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's very expensive. And here's the thing, for a Western game, you know, it matches up the Western actors and it's in English and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a Japanese studio would do if they were doing a multilingual game, like, and using that tech. Like, what do you have them do that five times or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, all right, do the French one now.
I feel like
I'm not sure.
I feel like they do a lot with a lot of American games is they just slap the subtitles on the bottom.
Was that Team Bondi's tech or Rockstar's tech?
It was Team Bondi's tech. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably trademarked or copyrighted. You know, they'd have to license it out to other people. I don't know what happened to that company. Honestly, it like dissolved after that game. There was all this controversy, developers and all that stuff. So who knows who owns that tech or where it is, but it might be reinvented from scratch. Also, Manny said it's super expensive. It's just cheaper to kind of do a facsimile job to do what they did.
And now, the tech is so much. Go ahead.
And it's also way cheaper to do what Mass Effect Andromeda did.
Well, the thing that the tech behind Mass Effect Andromeda is that fact that they have a voice analyzation software. So, especially when you speak to people that are just walking around in the world. They didn't motion capture any of those people. All those people are just reacting to the sounds that are being said, and it's the software. It's been done since like the first Mass Effect. That's why you notice that like they always seem to have those kind of canned expressions where they just kind of go, they have all these little emotions that they can put in there. And it's the same way that the guys at The Witcher work too, where they have the software that analyzes their voices and then they can stick in these little bits of emotion here to kind of make it seem like they're, you know, doing more than what they are. So, yeah.
So would, and I'm not too sure how all of that stuff works, but would you guys, I don't know why L.A. Noire was brought up. I know that, like I played the game and it was pretty good, but for example, a game like Uncharted, did that do something that was not as worthy as what L.A. Noire did, or was it better?
Well, the thing is that for L.A. Noire, what they were doing is they were literally capturing exactly the person's expressions and face. So, like, the guy, all the actors in the game are real actors, and the characters in the game look exactly like the actors, which is crazy. So, I mean, there's some pretty famous, like, art actors. Like, the main character is, what, from Boardwalk Empire, right?
He was a madman.
Yeah, he's from Mad Men. Excuse me. He's from Mad Men. And then you had a couple. You had like, I forgot this other guy. He was another famous dude. So there were quite a bit of pretty big actors, well known actors inside that. Oh, Adam, pull your microphone down.
And it won an award at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Mm.
because they recognized it as a film because it was real actors that had to act, yep. and their faces were scanned in as they were acting. So mm-hmm. it wasn't like a programmer saying, "Oh, he's sort of smiling." No, it was that actor smiling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like for Uncharted, though, what they're doing is they're doing that performance capture, which the actor's face drives the character's face inside of the game now. So, like, you know, that's how they could kind of they can transition, you know, Nolan North's face and Drake's face. As opposed to the way it used to be done, where they used to actually physically look at their performance and then animate the.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you noticed, Nathan Drake is looking more like Nolan North.
Yeah.
As the progression of the games go on.
As Nathan Drake gets older, he looks more like Nolan North.
See, which brings up that whole thing with the actors union. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like one thing is to have the voice. It's another thing when you start having their likeness.
Yeah, that's.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that was the issue that the actor, Michaels, I forgot his name, but the guy, Nico from Grand Theft Auto was complaining mm-hmm. about. He was like, yeah, he got paid a set amount to do voice work, but the character looks a lot like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, that's me, man. I should be getting more for this.
Yeah, so that sort of, yeah, I mean, that sort of thing stinks. But I mean, because the video games aren't, video game industry and the actors union aren't like totally in bed with each other. That's why you can have those sorts of weird shit like the, you know, where they went on strike and stuff, and having some of the games actually deciding, hey, whatever, you know, we're going to make this game without you guys. So, you know, that's what happened with that one Square Enix game. Life is Strange?
Life is Strange.
Yeah. Life is Strange, where they changed the whole cast of the game because all the actors were all Screen Actors Guild actors. So they said, you know what? Fuck you. We're using Canadian actors or people outside of the country.
They're going back to it. They're going back to those actors, though, for the next one.
Yeah, you know, you also know why that happened. Is because they settled. Yeah, so but now...
then one of the actors was also a writer on it. So that mm-hmm. was very awkward, she said, because she had to work on it, but yet she couldn't partake in the other part of mm-hmm. what she was doing because of
yeah
and it's like when Chris was mentioning about how like if it was a Japanese game and they'd had to translate it to English and to French, and then the first thing that came into my mind was, yeah, but Heavy Rain kind of did both of them at the same time.
Yeah, that was so bad, their accents.
Yeah,
so I wonder,
oh, go ahead.
I wonder for games like the next Quantic Dream game, like what's it called, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that game is more kind of sophisticated, because you know those games are just completely narrative driven. They're not really,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they're kind of like just QTE games, decision games that are more focused on story and dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, definitely they're probably using actors, but also at the same time, like maybe, you know, because they're in Europe, the laws for that sort of stuff is different. Yeah, not laws, but like just the what they do. So yeah,
I just wonder if it's a new engine. Are we going to see anything different with their facial, LA Noir and stuff? I mean, those type of things work well in mm-hmm. that unit of games. It doesn't really look that different compared to Heavy Rain. I mean, when I've watched Detroit.
They still look a little. They still look a little bit stiff. Like they still. They still look a little stiff and weird.
To just rely.
On yeah. So we have the next one. This is the last question. It's from Joel Torres.
Yes, Mr. Torres asks, do you guys disagree with Persona and Shin Megami Tensei 5 being?
No.
No.
People don't play those type of games on Xbox. We've learned that from Blue Dragon. They put in so much money. Microsoft put so much money in Blue Dragon, and it was awesome. And what was it? He was a famous creator. Yeah,
it was Akira Toriyama, and it was the dude who created fucking Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Final Fantasy. There you go. And they put in all this money, like make a new IP. Let's go all out. We're gonna go full force to the Japanese market, and it did nothing. You know. So then it's like, you know what? People, they just don't play it. They just don't play those games. You know? So I had a discussion about this with a buddy, upset about, oh yeah, well, they didn't bring you other games. What was it? We were talking about something else, but it was along these lines. And I'm like, they just don't play those type of games. It just don't sell. You know, so people can complain about it, but it's not going to sell on that platform. So why bother?
Well, I guess to me, if the only reason I would disagree with those being exclusives is if they... like if they just arbitrarily decided, Atlas that is arbitrarily decided to make those exclusive for no apparent reason. Like obviously, like if a company has you know, a deal with a developer to make it exclusive, then I don't really mind, because I like developer, I like you know, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, you know, making their consoles be more more exclusive with more exclusive games. But I don't really know why Shin Megami Tensei 5 is exclusive to Switch. I'm not too sure why. And I'm actually not too sure why Persona is exclusive to Sony, PlayStation.
Got to be something behind the connections of those companies, because that Atlas, that's still Sega, mm-hmm. you know, and that's still a Japanese company. There's got to be some kind of like, hey, let's work together with Japanese company. It's got to be something on that end.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I feel like a lot of we're seeing a lot of those kind of locked down exclusive Japanese games. I feel like they don't, a lot of the, especially, you know, other, like an Xbox. I mean, I haven't even seen any announcement for Persona on. So I feel like they're just kind of like, all right, they're playing on the, you know, the people in our country love this game here, and it seems to be doing well on this console. So we're just going to stick to this console. Because, I mean, you also got to think about it, like, developing your game for other consoles, as easy it is as it is now, you know, easier because of the way the engines are all built and pretty much how the Xbox and the PlayStation are pretty much the same exact thing. I feel like also just, you know, QAing those sorts of things, also they don't want to deal with it. And Atlas, as, you know, big as it is, they're not that big. They're kind of a smaller studio.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Because, like, we're seeing that with another Sega franchise, Yakuza.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, that was it. That was it. Because my buddy was like, oh, well, that would do great with the action and stuff. I'm like, maybe. But, I mean, that's always been a PlayStation thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Yakuza's a really Japanese game. Even though there's a lot of fighting and stuff, it's, like, really Japanese the way it is. It's actually not even in English.
No.
Yeah.
It's subtitles.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, would that go over well with an Xbox audience? I don't know. I feel like it might be a hard room on that one.
Xbox did get one Yakuza game, Yakuza Reckless, which was a racing game. You remember that? The original Xbox?
Yeah. Oh,
with the cars and driving around and in Japan and stuff and doing all this craziness, but it wasn't like a fighting. It was just an...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's probably where I've heard that, but I feel like... You know, who knows? I mean, the only game that would maybe fit that Yakuza sort of thing would probably be... I don't think Shenmue did very well on Xbox, so I feel like they're kind of basing it off of past... And again, I feel like also the Yakuza game franchise, as much money as it makes, I don't think they put a lot... I don't think they get millions. They're not getting, like, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn stuff. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the Yakuza games are kind of just reiterations of the last one. You know, you have... pretty much the same neighborhood that you're walking around, you know, side mission. So I don't know. I feel like one, the companies that have those kind of smaller, those smaller budgets don't seem to want to, especially with the Japanese, you don't want to invest in other consoles and PC versions, especially seeing how bad a lot of the ports of Japanese games have been, because, you know, I mean, granted, like Bayonetta and shit like that, that stuff did really, you know, the port is actually really good on that. What's up, Carlos?
Yeah, and I'm like, even if you think about the exclusive games Microsoft has been rolling out, like ReCore and Quantum Break, those haven't been really doing that well. So yeah, that it's all about, I guess it's all about incentive to roll those out to a different console. Like, if you're gonna pay extra for that Xbox One, Xbox One S, and Xbox One X QA testing, then sometimes it's just not worth doing that, especially like you mentioned, it's a small studio. Mm-hmm. And they're rolling out these games really quickly too. Like, this year we've got both Yakuza Zero and Yakuza Kiwami One,
or, mm-hmm.
yeah, like yeah. The remake of Yakuza One. So yeah, it makes sense for those games.
So yeah, we actually ran out of questions, so we're actually going to open it up the questions to our guys in the chat. See what things that you guys want to ask. So yeah, so what do you guys are burning questions? Do you have any PSX questions? What did you guys see at PSX that was pretty cool, or were you just like meh?
Like, did some you guys of us fall asleep were. Like everyone else?
Yeah, did you fall asleep? I mean, what I did was I watched that first conference thing. I was just like, oh, here we go. And then the later days, I just kind of put the stream on and just kind of skimmed to the things that looked interesting. So that's kind of what I did.
The thing that I'll mention, and I'm pretty sure almost everyone watched it here, How awkward was that interview with Kojima and Mark Cerny?
Yeah, it was a weird. That was a weird one. I like the way hilarious thing about Kojima is that they asked him, "How did this thing come along? How did this thing come along?" And he did not answer that question.
Yeah.
He just said something about connections and all kinds of other bullshit. I'm like, oh, dude, you're not answering this question. You just walked over that shit. You know what? You know the one thing they don't say about the guy that's leaving. What was his name? I can't remember.
Adam something.
Andrew House.
Andrew House. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. Andrew House is leaving. It's like, what is he gonna do after all this? Is he just retiring? I don't know.
He looks fairly young.
Yeah, he looks good. I mean, it's funny. You see, like, I liked seeing some of those old shots of him, and it's like, oh yeah, you were there from the.
Yeah, but the whole thing with Death Stranding, it's like no one's in the loop. Like, I don't think anyone in Sony other than Kojima knows what the hell's going on with that game.
They, you can tell they signed that shit sight unseen. They said, Kojima's free. He wants to do a game. Fuck. Bam. Do it. Do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, and they even talked about it. They said how one of the incentives for him to sign with Sony was to just let him do what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah. It's like, oh, fuck you. imagine the game is that. It's just like that. Fuck you, Konami. Oh, I'm so bad.
Shoot, imagine if it's not even a game and it's just a.
I mean,
like, it's a story based movie. Like, you know, turn, press the right on the D pad, left on the D pad. Yeah. AB, and that's it.
I don't know. He said at some point in that awkward interview, he's like, yeah, that underwater scene is playable. Mike, what do? You control the camera into the next guy? I don't know. What do you do there?
By the way, we got a question.
Oh.
And I can read it out, but I'm going to point this out to Chris because Chris is. He's a big Souls fan. So Stoshua? Yeah. Mm. He asks, what do you think the new From Software game is? Obviously we got a tease in the Game Awards show.
Oh yeah. Some twisting flesh.
It was the biggest tease other than the agent a game can be.
I agreed with Brett that I thought it was, that's what I think it is. I don't think it's Dark Souls 4 or anything else. Like, I could hope that it's Demon's Souls Remastered, but I doubt it because I don't remember a scene like that in the original one. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with it's a sequel to Bloodborne. And they may not call it Bloodborne 2. They may call it, I don't know, Dream Souls. Who knows what they call it. But I think that's what it
is. It's the connecting tissue game of Demon's Souls and Bloodborne.
Man, it could be as long as I get another Souls-like game. Like, I'd be happy with another Bloodborne. Like, I love Souls, and Bloodborne's a little weird—the gunplay and all that stuff. But still, what do you guys think it is?
I feel like with the goriness of it or whatever, it looked like it looked bloody or like some intestines or some shit. I feel like it's definitely going to be something in the Bloodborne's realm or something like that. But when they said From Software said they're not going to make any more Dark Souls games, right? Did that mean that they're just going to make a Demon Souls game? You know what? Not Demon Souls, a Bloodborne games.
I was curious about that. I think that they are not. They said they were going to make a new IP. They didn't say there was no more Souls game. Mm-hmm. I think they were very careful about that. So, I mean, new IP. I don't know what. You know, Miyazaki's definition of that is.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he could have been talking about something else. He could have been talking about, like, some Armored Core shit, for all I know. Yeah. And they still make it Bloodborne.
Then all of a sudden we look at it, and it's Tenchu! It's like, what?
Yeah, and Bloodborne was such a huge hit
mm-hmm.
that it just seems logical to come up with a sequel now.
Barry Burton says it's obviously Kingsfield 5.
Yeah,
no, they go back to Kingsfield. They could.
I mean, that's their franchise.
But it's like, I don't know. The thing that came to mind was like, I just wonder how that meeting went. Where it's like, obviously Jeff Keighley is trying to sell his show, the Game Awards, and he's like, mm-hmm. So I'm talking to From Software, and they said they got a trailer for me to an exclusive trailer to reveal to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, From Software is like, okay, guys, like here's a trailer so you can show it. He's like, you giving me this? it's like a 5-second trailer.
He almost looked confused too. He's like, yeah, that's it. Make of it what you will.
Yeah. But because, I guess he's already like used to disappointment, especially with Nintendo from last time when they revealed what is his name, Grampy Kong or whatever.
Yeah,
remember?
Cranky Kong.
He's pretty much used to like developers upsetting him when it comes to revealing their shit on the Game Awards.
Kal-El says it's Wolf Metal Chaos 2. you remember that game, right? Wolf Metal Chaos. It's about the president of the United States who flies this crazy mech robot. It's an insane game. It almost doesn't sound real. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
No, that's funny. I'm like, but I mean, we get off the. I look forward to whatever it is. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know when we're gonna get more info. It obviously wasn't PSX. I thought it was gonna be. So.
Yeah.
No.
PSX, from what they were saying, like PSX was more like a celebration kind of thing rather than a reveal thing, and that they were revealed all their shit earlier this year. But I mean, like, okay, so then why have a press? You know, like, why have this opening show? Just say, hey, this is great. You know, this is a great year for PlayStation, like they usually do. Like, you know, and you get a car and you get a car, or, you know, put something on the people's seats and that's it. Call it a night. Because I don't know, I got a Star Wars experience from a vibe from that show. You know what I mean? Where it's like it's just about riling up the crowd, and there's really no real that much revealed anything. They just say, "Hey, this thing is coming," and that's about it. Go to the show floor and play some games. Which I hear the show floor was really nice. Like, it had a lot of nice and cool stuff.
Yeah, but it was funny when Tony said that there was a line there to play Battlefront 2 and to play Call of Duty 2. And it's like, but those games have been out. Like, what, why are you online to play this?
Well, you know what? You know, sometimes this is what they do at E3. So sometimes they, when you play a demo, they'll give you a shirt. So sometimes, like, you'll see people online, and the only reason why they're online to play the game is just to get a cool swag. So they could have been doing that. Which I did notice that some of the booths had that stuff. Like, you go through that little experience and they give you a little t-shirt. Yay, you did it.
Yeah, but with PSX, like, what's his name? One of the guys had an interview with Greg Miller after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned that essentially most of the reveals that would have gone to PSX went to Paris Game Show.
Mm-hmm.
That's why PSX was kind of lackluster.
Yeah.
But it makes me think, why wouldn't you just reserve them for your own show?
Yeah, why wouldn't you keep them back? I don't know. And yeah, I mean, and here's the weird thing. It's like, okay, you had all those things. You had Horizon. You know, you brought up the guy who directed Horizon. And you brought up the guy, Corey Barlog, who did God of War. Why didn't they bring the guy out who's the person who's doing Days Gone? It's like that game is just gone now.
Well, it's in a tough spot because it's too much like The Last of Us. I mean, people are getting that confused constantly.
Yeah. You know?
And they're both in the same type of realm of...
The zombie verse.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and I think they're sort of in like a limbo. It's coming out. How do you promote that and then hype up The Last of Us? Because you can't have them close.
No,
you know what
they
I mean?
Can't.
So, because it'll be people like, oh, I can't play both. There's no point. I'm just going to pick one. So one of them is going to die, and it's definitely not going to be The Last of Us.
No.
They got to come up with something.
Yeah. Hey, we got this wonderful new game with zombies. Wait, didn't you already have that? No, it's a totally different game with zombie bears.
With a twist.
There's a lot of them, and they run real fast.
They run at you, and they come out of the walls.
And by the way, no release date for God of War 3 or God of War.
Yeah, man. What the?
It's like, is this going to get delayed? Because, like, we're like a couple of days till it being 2018.
Well, yeah. When we saw that leak that it said some day in March, right? I thought, it got leaked because they're getting ready, because they're going to post that up for pre-orders, right? Right before PX. Everything made sense. Everything was there. And then no reveal, no announcement. So I'm like, oh, shit. Then what?
Yeah.
You know, so maybe something is going wrong.
It's funny, like, he kind of, after that thing, he kind of explained why they can't announce things too early. Where he's like, yeah, we end up, you know, if we do a date and then we're not able to hit that date, we end up having to give rebound. I'm like, what?
He mentioned, yeah, this was bullshit. He mentioned The Last Guardian as an example. I'm like, yeah, The Last Guardian was announced and it took, what, 5-6 years to come out? Mm-hmm. Probably more. God of War is slated for 2018. It's like you're either going to release it in 2018 or you're not going to release it in 2018. Yeah.
Some point in 2018.
It's like, come on, man.
I feel like my guess, if it is at all coming out in 2018, it's going
to
be.
Yeah, you think it's going to get delayed till last quarter of 2018?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be in the first quarter. I definitely.
Yeah.
They're only saying now that they're playtesting the game. That's at least what I got from what Corey said on the.
Yeah, it might be the case because, I mean, a month from now, 2 months from now is normally when the game would go gold if they want to release it first quarter of 2018.
Yeah.
So they're probably not at that point yet where they feel reliable with the whatever they have. So.
Well, at least if they hold back and fix it up, not like the damn WWE Switch game. Oh, my Lord. What an epic fail. You know what? And I knew it. I knew it. I was like, you know what? This is a sign of advertising this. This something's wrong. But the wrestling fan in me was like, got to do it. Got to do it. And they did it. And I'm like, oh, I regret doing it. That was a waste. You know, now I'm just praying for a patch because it's pretty much unplayable. But just to go back to the topic, it's just in those type of situations. If you're not 100%, then keep it. Because if it comes out and it's shit, you're ruining the franchise. You're burning that bridge. So fine, if it's going to take longer, whatever. Just make sure when it does come out, it's proper. And we don't.
Techno Fabulous popped up onto the, what are you guys currently playing? He says, I'm playing Everybody's Golf and Gran Turismo Sport. It's always cool to hear about what you guys are currently playing. Well, I'm going to go first here on that one. And you know what? I'm currently playing Hellblade. I haven't actually sat down to play it again, but I am playing Hellblade. That's the one thing I'm playing. And I do have L.A. Noire waiting in the wings, you know, to come with. And next week, I think Okami's coming out, and I definitely...
That's right.
So, yeah, so there's all that that's coming. We'll see how my schedule is going, which is cool. Like, my schedule is probably going to be letting up pretty soon. I'm like two issues away from completing the comic for Coheed and Cambria, Amory Wars. So it's two more issues to go with that, and closing down in at least the last issue is going to be coming out in February, but I'll be probably done. Bullshit. But yeah, that's about it. That's all it is now. And as far as future, yeah, that's it for now. Probably in the summer, during the holiday, I might take a couple knockouts of games. What about you guys?
I'll jump in then. I'm playing Call of Duty World War II and The Division. Got back into that. Loving
Ooh,
it.
Shit.
Trying to get that platinum, man. That's the goal. I don't know if I can get it before the end of the year, but I'm pretty close. I just got to do a lot of the Dark Zone stuff. And
yo, man, you're going to lose your PlayStation reward points if you don't get them fast enough. That's right, that's the clause behind them.
Yep, that is the clause. You know, so yeah, I'm loving it, man. They got all these new updates for those people listening that haven't. Like, I haven't gone back. A lot of new stuff, a lot of fun. And if you had the season pass, I have it. It's real cheap right now. I think you can get the whole thing for like $29. You know, game and the pass and all that stuff. It's just so much to do. So many cool weapons and stuff. So I came across some really cool guys, and we've just been going into the Dark Zone and trying to collect some loot. But yeah, those are the two.
Yeah, man, this week for me has been crazy. Like, with work, yeah, we go live on a project, on a big project we've been working on by the end of the month. So
you're in crunch then?
Yeah, we're in crunch time right now. So I, like, this week I haven't played anything, but the last game I was playing, actually, no, I did play a little bit of Gravity Rush 2. Yeah, so I think I'm like in chapter 4. I think I'm not that far in. But yeah, man, Gravity Rush was one of my favorite games for the Vita, man, when I played it on that, the remastered version. So, and Gravity Rush 2 is just, it's that, man. But I,
that would better camera controls.
Yo, man, it's so much better with playing it on a huge TV because on the Vita, it's really hard to control it, even though it's really cool. Mm-hmm. Especially since while I was playing it on the Vita, I didn't know that you can like correct the camera position.
Yes.
So obviously now that I know how to do it, every time like my orientation gets all wonky and stuff, mm-hmm. I just reset that, and it's like,
yeah, you kind of have to, yeah, you kind of have to like if you like sometimes the screen will be upside down and she'll be right set up, so then you have to kind of go and then flip it around.
Yeah, man, because some of these, you know, some of these battles get crazy, like mm-hmm. these huge ass I forgot what the enemies are called,
the Navi.
Yeah, those huge ass navvies, man, where you're just like flying all over the place, man. Those are the best. Yeah, man. Gravity Rush 2, like Manny said earlier, like that game didn't really sell as well as it should have. So if you guys want to play a game that's pretty good that you haven't, go pick up Gravity Rush 2.
To be honest, I would say the first one's not as long as mm-hmm. the second one. I definitely say play both of them together. Just fun. It's how many games do you know that you can play a character that can literally fly around anything, pretty much?
Yeah, and the crazy thing, like the coolest things about the game, and I mean, it happened to me when I was playing it on the Vita. It's like you see something that's way in the distance, mm-hmm. and it looks like it's just like a background, but nope, you can fly towards it.
Yeah.
It's like one of it always gets me too. Like every time I see something and I'm like, oh shit. And I get closer and I'm closer and it just gets bigger. And then you can land on that place. And it's like just freaking amazing, man. I mm-hmm. love that game.
What about you, Mr. Brian?
I've actually been going a bit old school and actually been trying to finish up God of War, because I want to actually get my PS3 backlog emptied by the end of the year. So yeah. It's a interesting challenge. I think that the only games I have left are God of War 2, mm. God of War 3, and God of War Ascensions, and then I think like one other game.
Really? You're really going to go through Ascension, huh?
Yep. Going to go through, get the Platinum, and call it a day, and then put the PS3 to rest, finally.
You put it into its coffin? Like, give it a proper burial?
Yeah. It's been a good console. Like, it served me well. You know, it got me through like my university days and afterwards mm-hmm. when I had no job, and yeah, so I think that it deserved a nice send-off, and plus I want to be the guy who has like little to no backlog, so I'm literally going through and just destroying my backlog. Plus, there aren't many games that are coming out that I really like these days. Like, I see like lineup of games these days, and nothing really like excites me. It's like the game that I'm actually most looking forward to is that game called Soul Aside. And that's about it. Everything else, I'm just kind of like, don't really care. Like, Days Gone, not fast.
Yeah.
God of War. Next one, whatever. Dad of War, not really fussed. Last of Us, didn't like it. You know, I'm just like here, like, none of these games excite me. So, yeah.
You're in an interesting spot. But, I mean, it's like...
It is.
The one thing about a lot of... You don't... You know, it's hard to, you know, get that. It's like, also, you're like, right, you know? You could kind of just wait and just, you know, mull around and then wait for it to drop on the PlayStation Store, even better, be free, you know? So, I mean, granted, if it's free, it doesn't help them. It doesn't help the company to make more of those games, but at least you get to play them. I mean, that's at least the way I see it.
That's what I'm going to do with Shadow War, because, well, first of all, I disagree with the practices, so hence I'm not going to buy it, and I'm just going to wait until, like, next year or the year after when it's like, the Gaming Year Edition comes out, because we all know that they will have that, because that's all they do is like have like that Gaming Year Edition like a year after. So
and being that it's Warner Bros., it's gonna say game. You're gonna think the name of the game is Game of the Year. It's just gonna be written all over it, like they did with Batman.
Yeah, I think I've just gone to the point now where I just don't really care if a game comes out, because if it has DLC, then chances are, like a year from now, they'll have like the Gaming Year Edition. So why buy it now when I just wait 1 year, have games to play, and then get the like the full version like a year after?
Yeah, that's pretty much happening with me and Persona. I was like, you know, there's a new version of Persona 5 coming out with all the DLC packs, and I could buy that one if I ever. What about you, Chris?
I'm still trying to get through Agents of Mayhem. I just want to finish it. I don't think I'll platinum that game. I'm just having a hard time playing it.
What's up with it? Just like a really difficult type of game?
No, I mean, they took some pieces of Saints Row, but they just made them worse, you know?
Yep.
And I don't understand how they did it. Like, it looks so much better than Saints Row, but like all the things, it's like, it's there, but you don't let me do them. And the last game let me do all that crap. So I'm just so pissed. Like, they have these weird walls, and like, you have to go back to your base to get missions, and like, you can't deviate from the mission. Like, it actually tells you you're out of the area, and it'll just be game over. It's so stupid. But I'm just trying to finish it. And I jump back to Zelda now and again because the DLC. Mm-hmm. I finally got the season pass, so I was messing around with that stuff.
Oh,
and
cool!
I think the second one just came out, so I want to play that.
Yeah, they have that. The was like the origin of all the Guardian guys for that.
Yeah, one. The heroes. Yeah.
And you can have Link with a bike.
You know, it's funny because I saw that and I was like, yo, I wish Nintendo wouldn't tease the video because I would just cut it and put Rockstar Games and just play, you know, rock music and just have Link cruising around on a motorcycle and just pretend it's GTA.
where essentially has the music like that. The one from San Andreas, like, I'll never get away.
Oh, Iran?
Yeah, you play that one.
Man. So I think it's funny. Kristen was, like, so mad, and I was just laughing.
Hey, he got his bike from, what was it, from Mario Kart, right? He had a bike in that one.
It's the Master Cycle, and it looks a little weirder.
It's the Master Cycle.
Yeah.
By the way, we got another question.
Oh,
I missed one.
I missed one. Well, yeah, throw them in there.
So, Chris Reyes asks, "Do you guys think they did Paris game show this year because of the release of Xbox that week?" So, okay, so I think I know what you're saying. So, did they do all the announcements, just Sony and with the PlayStation 4 announcements, did they do all those announcements in Paris Game Show because they knew that the Xbox One X was going to release and kind of wanted to get rid of that mojo, in a sense, and all that hype? It's hard to tell because, yeah, I guess it kind of makes sense because, I mean, we talked about it earlier. Why else would you have all your big announcements, save all those big announcements for a show that doesn't belong to you while having a show later on coming out? A huge show. PSX always has announcements, like since its inception. And somehow Paris Game Show got all the bevy, the announcements for your exclusives. So it could be that they might have tried to, like, you know, gotten some of the attention away from the Xbox One X stuff. It's really possible.
Yeah, I definitely think that sounds it. They probably, you know, when they heard that Microsoft was going to be doing, they decided, you know, the what is it, the console war or arms race?
the plastic box war?
The plastic box war, yeah. So what was the other question?
Oh, no, I think that was the only one.
Oh, that was the only one? All right. So if anybody has any more questions, feel free to drop them in. If not, we'll probably just close up shop here. No Tony, no Brett. What's up with that? Brett would probably just made the show, like, would have been out an extra 2 hours.
He would just complain about something, I'll just drag it.
What's that?
He would just complain about something, like, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm like, oh, shit, here we go.
What were you going to say, Brian?
I actually have a question, and it's actually quite an interesting question, in my opinion. And it pertains to, like, me going through and getting some trophies, right? So, I was reading up how to get trophies on God of War 3. So one of the trophies that I need is complete the game in Titan mode, which is the hardest difficulty possible.
Yes.
And essentially, there's actually a small glitch where if you complete all of the challenges, and then you set one of the challenges to have yourself have infinite health and magic, then you can kind of glitch the game so that when you start out Titan mode, you have infinite health and infinite magic.
Oh, interesting.
So I was thinking, what are your guys' opinion on going back and, like, essentially, like, unpatching a game simply to glitch trophies, like that.
I've done it one. I did Uncharted 4 when for crushing.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Remember that one? And that was the same thing. It was like they patched it, but if you deleted the patch and took yourself offline and then just played it off, you know, re-downloaded it from the disc, then you can go use this exploit from the save file. It was like a little trick back and forth. You had to beat the game at some point, but there's a little trick for it. And yeah, I did it just to get the crushing, just to save time. And
yeah, I think I did the crushing one on there too. I don't find it. Here's the thing. I don't see much wrong with it. It kind of sucks that those sorts of things, you know, when those things happen. But yeah, I did the same thing with Uncharted. But then again, I did it before the thing. So in other words, what you do is for Uncharted is you just replay the chapter, the final chapter, with on a different difficulty, and it'll automatically give you a bunch of.
Yep.
So yeah,
it picks up the beat the game in like under 5 hours or something like that, and the crushing. So, and it was just by doing the last part.
I mean, I don't have that. I feel I have a problem with, because this is something that's already, this is a problem that's an exploit that's already actually, it's a coder error. What I do have an issue with is pretty much what a hip hop game is, literally getting all these mods and, you know, change to suit his needs. I feel like if you're going to exploit the game, then exploit it for what it already is as to what you're going to make it into. So, like, it's kind of like what do those speedrunners do, you know, where they find, like a hole in a wall that lets you drop to the next level. I mean, that shit's already in the game. It's just one thing that the coders did not. So, I don't have it that many. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Chris? I agree.
Yeah. I don't have any. Then also paying for
If you're mods. Using trainers and external stuff to hack the game, yeah, then you're...
Yeah, So, yeah, I guess that is it. I want to thank you all for watching the show tonight. You know, Tony will be back next week as usual. We'll be rocking and exploding like you. Thank you for listening. Make sure to leave your questions on this episode of Throw It On Your Questions for next week's episode. Make sure to also, if you're not on YouTube, you also go to thecoalition.com. You can on there. Make sure to subscribe to us on at Throwdown Show on Twitter, as well as SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, which we are on right now, which a lot of you guys, which I've seen some of your comments, yes, we are on Twitch. We are actually on Twitch and Mixer. Also on Facebook. So that's it. Links are in the description below. I am Emilio Lopez, and I was joined by Mr. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out, guys.
Ryan Manjoma.
Good night, people.
And Mr. Adam Vale.
Keep playing those games, man. Keep playing games and watch wrestling.
All right. See you next week, guys, for Throwdown episode, 163. Later, guys.
Peace.